Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Is this the first time since Phil Coutinho was signed by Barcelona that Liverpool have lost the genuine first team player?
Yeah, it probably is, isn't it? I mean, you could argue Sadio Mane.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he was supposed to be the nine. No. Luis Diaz was the out and out left winger at the time.
Yeah.
He was playing the nine. He moves to Bayern Munich. He plays back out on the left wing. I don't think he was that good. We were talking about this on Friday, actually, in the office, that like Sadio Mane wasn't as good a left winger in his last season when he started the season anywhere near as good as Luis Diaz when he comes in for the quadruple chase and stuff. So Mane is a nine, yeah, but you go out and you sign like Nunes and stuff like that, and you kind of knew that Mane wasn't going to be the long-term fix for the number nine position anyway. Take your point, of course, but feels like this is an integral one. He's a cog in the machine more so.
Yeah, 100%. And he was going to be a cog in the machine moving forward. Again, I say, like, you know, he had a diabolical season last year, really. By his own high standards, we should also remember that. Like, you see some of his performances, not throughout, but some performances, they're pretty good, some of them from last year. And they'd certainly be passable for a lot of clubs in the Premier League. It's just that Fabinho had set his bar so high and he'd been so reliable and so dependable. And at one point, the best in the world at what he did, that when he dipped massively below that last year, you kind of go, wow, that's eye-opening. That's really poor. And I think we, Jurgen Klopp, would kind of almost been able to scrub that from our memory and go, moving into the next season, it was coming, you're still going to be our six. That's why, as you touch upon, like, it is a big blow, and it's a big blow close to the start of the season, really, and it's going to have to be replaced, because this isn't, you know, James Milner's gone for free, Naby Keita's gone for free, Oxlade Chamberlain's gone for free. This isn't one of them. This is an important player, and this isn't something that we're very sort of au fait with at Liverpool, because as you mentioned, Coutinho, you could argue Sadio Mane, we don't lose our stars anymore. So to lose someone who Jurgen Klopp was planning on heading into the season with is a big, big loss.
Yeah, and take you back over a week now, you know, we were talking about Romeo Lavia as the potential replacement long term for Fabinho. Romeo Lavia, you know, we don't know where we stand in terms of potential transfers in at the moment, but it very much was all the talk was Lavia, and then none of the talk is Lavia just on his own anymore. And that says to me that Fabinho was going to be here for certainly a season, this season upcoming, probably maybe transitioning to more of a rotation player in the second year or something. So right now, the question's got to be asked, do we need a world-class defensive midfielder who is going to be a day-one starter to replace Fabinho? And how on earth do you replace Fabinho with just 40 million quid?
Yeah. For me, you can't replace Fabinho at his best with 40 million. There's no two ways about that. Like, some of the names you've seen bandied about, some of them can only dream of being as good as Fabinho on their best possible day. And I'll include the likes of Sofyan Amrabat in that. And I really like Amrabat, but I think Amrabat compared to sort of last season's Fabinho, keep harking back to it, would be a good option. I think if you want somebody to come in, do a job, plug and play, day one, there's your replacement, on you go, whilst you've got a Lavia or someone of that ilk watching, learning, developing, being the understudy, that's okay. But you cannot replace Fabinho at his peak for £40 million. It just doesn't happen. The only way we're going to do that in this window is if you go and, you know, knock on Real Madrid's door and ask about Tchouaméni. Not likely to happen. If you start hijacking the Caicedo race, that's the other option, in my opinion, for a like-for-like world-class Fabinho replacement. Because there's not many out there, I'll say that now. But it feels to me, like I touched upon earlier, Liverpool had planned for this season and they'd kind of made peace with Fabinho returning to something like his best. And that was obviously what we were hoping was going to happen, because I think last year, you know, when you take into account the bad preseason that we had, the fact that he just come off a 62 game campaign that clearly took a lot out of every player, not just Fabinho.
Fatherhood in the middle of the season as well.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. And it was a bad season all around for him for a whole multitude of reasons. So I think we were willing to sort of accept that and move on. But now, like I say, that's been completely thrown into disarray, because now no surprise that Lavia is suddenly off the cards because he's not the answer anymore.
Hmm. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because I think it's important to try and play both sides even if you don't always agree with them. We've really only got to replace Fabinho from last season.
In essence. But
because we don't know whether he would have got better, because there's not many indications over the years when players have such a bad season that they then return to their peak at age 29, 30 years old.
No.
So to get better than last season, we don't need Fabinho from 2 years ago. We need Fabinho from last season. And that is possible.
That is possible. That is Amrabat, in my opinion. If not, Amrabat might be an improvement on that. It might be a slight upgrade on that, to be honest. However, I'll caveat that and play devil's advocate to that by saying, obviously, we as Liverpool fans want to be better than we were last season, because it was an abomination for a large part. So he wants an improvement on that. And also, for the stuff I just touched upon about Fabinho's sort of mitigating circumstances and some of the factors, only some of the factors that went into having such a bad season, and it was bad, they wouldn't be there anymore. Mm. He's going to have a proper pre-season, because Jurgen Klopp himself has spoken about the issues that we had last year, last summer, etc. So that would have been a non-starter in terms of that. And also add to the fact that the legs around him would have been better. I actually think we've seen it improve Fabinho when he had Trent alongside him.
Yep.
Because his defensive responsibility wasn't as great. So he didn't have to do as much running. Because, for instance, to the right of him, as simplistic as this, you go into more detail about it probably, as simplistic as the work to his right, his workload there was cut off a little bit because Trent was doing it for him. He just had to worry about pretty much behind him, in front of him a little bit, and to his left. One side of the pitch kind of wasn't his anymore. Yeah. And we've seen him get better because of that. So I believe, given the new system that we're playing and Trent's likely to carry on doing that role, I believe that Klopp, you know, Schmadke, Pep Linders, etc., were confident that we'd see, maybe not back to his best, but something like Fabinho getting closer.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate again on this, because I actually I don't think anybody can know the answers, so I'm just going to sort of ruminate or something like that, you know what I mean? Where I think Liverpool's big problem, even when we played the box system at the end of the year last year, was in the transition. Mm-hmm. And Fabinho and Trent Alexander-Arnold both weren't brilliant in transition in terms of defensive, what they had to do defensively in that transition. I think, we think that we need the Fabinho of the 4-3-3, and I don't know whether Fabinho of the 4-3-3 is actually what we need in a box midfield. Because Fabinho was, as you said, quite rightly before, the best in the world at that at one point. That's not the position that we're actually recovering anymore. Mm. It doesn't look likely anyway. It looks like we're going to play a box midfield. So would, and I'll also couple this with, when Fabinho was playing alongside Trent Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho didn't play the passes forwards. Trent Alexander-Arnold did. Can you not get away with a ball hawk playing alongside Trent Alexander-Arnold, a la Sofran Amjabat, or someone of that ilk, to just pass the ball 5 yards? We needed Fabinho to break the lines a few years ago. He'd play those balls over the top from deep and all that type of stuff that we became accustomed to. He'd spray the ball left, he'd spray the ball right. Trent does that. You actually need someone to go and get the ball. And that might be our understanding of what we're looking for at a DM, because we look at a DM as the 4-3-3, but if not playing the 4-3-3, you might get away with more of a DM specialist.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I think you're dead right, sort of, that the little bit of creativity that Fabinho's shown down the years, and I use a little bit loosely because you can sort of look back at moments like there's a chip ball, wasn't it, for Mane? It was a delight. So he has got that in his locker, and he scored goals as well from range. Probably should have had a go more often, to be honest with you, given his prowess at doing that. But yeah, I think that's going to be diminishing in this new system, because you're right, when you've got somebody of Trent's calibre alongside you with his passing range and everything he offers, the every club in the bag phrase that I like to use all the time, you just give it to him. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's something actually Jurgen Klopp picked up on this week after the friendly. He said for the first half, when Trent was obviously in the six, you see, I think you've seen his deficiencies in that role as well, just on a side note as well, because I think he got caught a few times, the turning was back to goal, stuff like that. It didn't quite work. But basically, he said, we were guilty of giving him the ball all the time, just saying, give us a Trent, see what he can do. But I get that. So to your point, I think when you do sign your new DM, whoever it may be, you probably, whereas previously in the old system, when you went and got Fabinho, you did probably look at his passing range and what he could do in terms of that with the ball at his feet. That's probably less important now. So you could afford to go and get an Amrabat, for instance. I don't know if Caicedo, he's got a little bit of that. He's technically better than probably an Amrabat, but I don't know if he's got as much as Fabinho in the same sense, but he's still so young. But I think Lavia is actually a good example of that working. So you do need a different type of DM. I actually wonder, do you need him to be as defensively proficient if you've got Trent alongside as well? Because I alluded to it earlier, like Fabinho's defensive responsibility actually decreased a little bit with Trent. And I wonder, we used to see him, Fabinho again at his peak and at his best when we were a complete force to be reckoned with in the 4-3-3. Fabinho was so good at covering ground any side. They called him the Hoover, they called him the Lighthouse, whatever name you want to sort of attach to him, because he was boss at doing it. You don't even need that anymore.
No.
Because of the system change.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely spot on. I think you just need somebody. And they're, if you listed all the things that they can do, top of it is in transition. Mm. Going at the ball in transition and stop counter-attacks. That's the thing. And that is the thing I would say last season with Fabinho lacked more than any other in any part of his game. Late challenges, people getting past him too easily when in counter-attacks. And it's why Liverpool had a hole, I believe, through the centre of the pitch so many times. It's because that's where his skill set was lacking last season. And that's where I think we need it.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.